Well, hello and welcome to another episode of She Speaks Stories. This is Katie.
And this is Julia.
And this is Chesed.
Chesed is back. And many of you faithful listeners know that she is one of our absolute favorite guests. And we have asked her to share one of her amazing stories of how God just affirmed his character to her in a unique way. Now, Chesed is one of our favorite storytellers, and she has a myriad of different stories where God really has shown her things, amazed her, led her, just so that faith deepens. So, Chesed, we just want you to share one of your favorite stories that kind of affirms the power of God and how it really is in a Christian's life.
Yeah,
I would love to. Yay. So, one of the things that I've talked about on here with you guys before is just a little bit of my journey of singleness and then meeting my husband online. And now we are married, you know, but we met online when, oh, he's going to listen to this and he's going to correct all my numbers because I'm awful at like remembering details. So I'll just say things. I'm not sure they won't be accurate.
Wrong. Right.
So like average. When I was, I think 36 or 37, I can't remember. I at that point had kind of gotten into a rhythm of every maybe other summer I would do online dating just for the summer. And that kind of started when I was in seminary through the encouragement and challenge of a friend, because she was going to try it. And when she told me about it, my initial response was very much one of like, no, I don't want that to be my story. Absolutely not. And, she, in her kindness and boldness, kind of challenged me a little bit and was like, Chesed, is that coming from pride, fear? Like what's going on there? And, and so because of that, I kind of like held that up to Jesus and was like, you know what, Jesus, like, I want you to write my story. So like, if I do get married, I want you to be the one to choose how I meet this person. And specifically because at that time I was in seminary and, you know, a lot of times the perception or maybe even the assumption for women who are going to seminary still single is like, oh, well, you'll meet, there's going to be so many guys there, you know, like,
oh,
so
yeah, right.
Godly guys, you're going to meet your husband.
Right.
Yeah. And that didn't happen for me, you know? And so I, during that time though, like, you know, God kind of encouraged me to try this rhythm. And so at very much as a like place of surrender, every other summer I would do online dating for a little while.
Hey friends, Julia here. Hey, did you know that She Speaks Stories has a newsletter? Yeah, we do. To subscribe to it, just head over to our website, shespeaksstories.com. We are also on socials, so you can find us on Facebook and Instagram by just searching She Speaks Stories. We post and share all kinds of fun things. So following us is a great way to stay connected and updated on all of that fun. We just love our story community, and we hope you can join in on the sharing of stories because, as you know, we say all the time, stories change lives.
And, you know, there had been ups and downs about that. There had never really been anything serious that had come about that. And that specific summer, I was pretty frustrated with online dating, to be honest. I had lost a lot of weight and all of a sudden tons of guys were interested in me. And I was learning that it was very, very difficult to assess someone's faith online. Yeah. You know, like I did Christian Mingle for a while. And honestly, that was probably the hardest place to find someone who really, really loved Jesus.
Really?
Just because a lot of people would get on that platform because they wanted a good Christian girl. And so then I would like be talking to a guy and I'm like, wait a second, like, I don't think that you really love Jesus. Like it was very disheartening. And so then that summer I had been on some other platforms and it was very similar. It was like, like there was this one, for example, where you would have to identify like, okay, this is my religion. And then you'd have to identify like there were different categories, like, it's not that important to me. It's pretty important to me. It's the most important thing in my life. So I put filters on my platform where I was like, don't connect me with anyone unless they identify themselves as a Christian and they say it's the most important thing in their life. So already It's going through all these filters. And then I would get connected to someone and I would start talking to them and I would be like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, huh? And I realized like I needed to ask other questions. So with that specific platform, I started looking at their answers to perspectives on sex, because what would happen is they would say, I'm a Christian. It's the most important thing in my life. I need to have sex by the third date. I kid you not. And I was like, what? And so I had to like figure out these. So anyway, by the end of the summer, I was over it. I was like, I am done. I don't like this at all. Like, this is awful. Not realizing for the first time, but in a new way, it was like, man, God, like, I just want someone that loves Jesus. Like, is that so hard? Like, I just want someone that loves Jesus, that I would enjoy being around, that like, man, you know, I was single for a long time. And the question I would always ask myself, if there was a guy I was interested in or one that was interested in back, was like, can I glorify God better with this person or without this person? And if the answer is without, then I should stay single. Like, I only want to be with someone if like that is the best way to glorify God. So
It was so wise. That is so wise. Just stop right there. That perspective, I feel like not a lot of people have that, because growing up in a Christian home, in a Christian world where it's like, oh no, you go and find a Christian guy and then get married. And then it's like the next step. You almost look at it like it's like graduate from college, then get married. Mm-hmm. Not what is God's plan for me? Do I do better for God with him? That's
beautiful.
Write that down. Write that down. Everybody write that down.
Well, and I would say that's definitely wasn't my perspective as a 20-year-old, at least not functionally. You know what I mean? Like, you're still trying to figure all that stuff out. And also, like, I had sat in so many conversations where people were like, here's your checklist, you know, like, you only be with a guy if this is true and this is true and this is true. And to be honest, that checklist was held by so many guys I went to seminary with. Like, so many of those guys were the very like, and many of them were amazing. Like, please do not get me wrong. But like, so many of them, I would walk away from conversations and I would be like, okay, I know that you can argue these different perspectives on theology. I know that you can preach a sermon because you've learned how to do it. You look like the perfect Christian guy. Like, you've got your khaki pants on and your button-up shirt and you don't have any, you know, tattoos that people would question, and your haircut is nice, and like all of these things, you know, it's like, that's the perfect Christian guy. But like, I would walk away from conversations with a lot of them and I'd be like, first of all, didn't enjoy that. Like, right. So I didn't enjoy you, but also like, I don't know if I experienced your love for Jesus. Like, I'm not saying you don't love him, but I didn't experience it in that conversation. And what I realized is like, all of those things on that checklist, I really just wanted someone that loved Jesus, you know? And so
the inside rather than the outside, like, right. Let me see the heart, Lord, and not be distracted by what I think the outside should look like.
Yeah. I mean, and to be completely honest, like, I'm not really attracted to like the straight laced looking guy anyway. So it's not surprising that I wasn't like, oh yeah, one of these is the guy. Right. So anyway, I graduated from seminary. I moved to Virginia and I had been living here for, you know, a while, and was in that rhythm of doing like the online dating. And at the end of that summer, again, in that place of frustration, I actually went out to eat with a friend who had met her husband online, on match.com. And she challenged me. She was like, have you tried Match? And I was like, no, I'm so over it. I'm done. Like, I did my rhythm for the summer. I'm done, you know? And she was like, well, can I just encourage you to try match? And I was like, ugh. And so I just said to her, I was like, well, I'll pray about it.
Yeah, great answer.
Right, you know, I'll pray about it. But of course, if I say it, I have to do it. So I prayed about it and I was like, you know what, God, like, here's just another place of surrender for me. But this is like, this is a platform you have to pay for. So I'll do it for a month. If you want to do something, you need to do it in that month. And so I got on, and again, very much over it. I was like, I'm not spending a lot of time on this place. Like, I'm so done with the whole, like, let me find a Christian guy. And so what I did is there's a search filter on Match, and I just typed in Jesus.
Nice. And
pushed search.
Solid.
Because my thought was, I'm tired of people identifying themselves as a Christian, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus on these online platforms. And I'm only interested in someone if they talk about Jesus in their profile. Yeah. So typed in Jesus. Now, of course, there were some people actually named Jesus that came.
Oh, no.
And, you know, so I had to filter out those people, unless it was in their profile. You know, I was like, no, like, it's not the name. I want like the relationship with the Son of God, Jesus, you know? And right, so right. It was kind of disheartening how few profiles were still there after I did this. And one of them was this guy named Matt, and his profile was like bare bones. I mean, like, it, there was nothing on there. There was hardly anything on there except for this one statement. And it said, I think I'm a pretty fun guy and I really love Jesus. And that was it.
Oh, and no way.
Yeah, that was literally the only thing it said.
I am confused. Oh my.
So I'm looking at this picture of this guy and I'm like, I think I would be attracted to him if he shaved his head and had a beard. because in the picture, in the picture, he had like kind of, he had hair and then he had like a really, really short, you know, beard, but I have a type, you know, I can't help it, whatever.
Yeah, we all do. So, we all have to,
don't we all?
So I just clicked the like button, the interested button. And I think I clicked it for like two other guys and then I got off. I was like, all right, God, like, if you want to do something, it's got to be with one of those guys. Cause I'm done. Like, I'm so over it. And what I didn't know is that on the other side of the screen, Matt had made a similar kind of like cry out to God and had said, okay, I'll do this for a month. And then I'm off because I'm so tired of it. And so a few days later, I get this message from him and it just says, you seem really interesting. I think I'd like to talk to you. So we started talking, and the first time we talked, I mean, we talked for hours. He did most of the talking, honestly. He had a lot that he wanted to get out and to just talk about. And I just listened. And in that conversation, I remember going like, okay, God, like, he's talked a lot. If you want me to have another conversation, can you help him acknowledge that? So at the end of the conversation, Matt said, hey, I'm really sorry. I think I'm just lonely and I talked a lot. Next time I want you to talk the whole time. And I was like, okay, I guess there's going to be a next time. So we're going to have another conversation. And in the next conversation, he told me, he's like, hey, I should probably tell you, that picture that's posted, I don't actually look like that anymore. That's kind of an older picture. I have a shaved head right now and my beard is longer.
What?
And I was like, praise God.
I actually ordered that.
So right. I was like, God has taken care of that for me. So anyway, we started talking, you know, regularly, not like obsessively, but we were talking regularly, just trying to get to know each other. I told him my story. He told me his story. Both of us really love Jesus. Like, both of us love people, have a heart for the gospel. There's just so much that in these conversations, it was like, wow, like, I really enjoy this guy. Like, it feels natural. And that was like a big thing. I think I might've said this on this podcast before, but like, I never really had huge goosebumps about Matt. Like, I wasn't like feeling butterflies. I guess I'm just not a butterfly person. Actually, what happened was it just felt very normal. It felt very natural. It felt very like rested. And that's actually what made me like interested in him. And so we had been talking for a little bit, and he told me, he was pretty bold early on, and just saying things like, hey, if we're still talking in a month, I'm going to come meet you in person. And hey, like, I want, like, this is serious for me. So like, cause it was long distance. He lived in Florida. So like, there had to be this kind of like seriousness to it from the get go. So anyway, it was about a week before he was going to come and we were going to meet each other in person. And one night on the phone, he, one of the things that I love about Matt is that he's incredibly unassuming. He like doesn't try and come up across bigger than he is or like better than he is. In fact, so much so that sometimes he like talks down about himself. Like, he's just so humble in that place. And so he said before he was going to come visit me, he's like, there's some things I want you to know about my story, about my life. And then he proceeded to pretty much tell me all of the worst things about him, about his sin, about his story. Like, it was like everything. And I just kind of sat there and listened. And then in the end of that conversation, he was like, I know you need to think about that. I just told you a lot, but I just didn't feel like I could come see you without telling you this stuff. And so I was like, okay, I need to process that. So that night I went to a local restaurant that I used to like to go to, and there's like a porch outside, and I had a book with me. I did not open the book. I just sat there and just thought. And I remember like feeling very overwhelmed, not because Matt had an awful story or anything like that. Like, his story is, and the things from his story are commonplace in our society and in Christian stories. So like, it wasn't anything like that. I was overwhelmed because he had just like verbalized all this to me, and it held a weight to it that would impact us if we moved forward in a relationship. But the tricky part of it was I hadn't even met him in person yet. So it was like, I remember saying to God, I was like, God, like, I don't know how to process all of this information when I haven't actually met him in person. Like, I think I would be attracted to him, but I haven't spent time with him. Like, I'm not in love with him yet. So I don't know how to hold the weight of what he just shared with me with like the weight of like, oh, but he's worth it. And like stuff like that, because I don't know. And right. So I was just kind of like expressing this to the Lord, you know, just like, hey, like, his story is not too much. I just don't know what to do with it at this point.
Yeah. What do I do?
Yeah. And so as I was sitting there though, I was, I'm not going to say I had a vision. Like, I think what God did is he used my imagination and connected it to a story in scripture. And it was the story of Samuel being used by God to choose David as king. So in this story, and I'm just like sitting there on this porch at this restaurant, and I just can see it in my brain where Samuel comes to David's father, you know, and he's like, hey, like, I'm here to choose a king. God has sent me. Can you bring out all your sons? Cause it's one of them, you know? And so the father brings out all the sons. And it's really interesting. So Jesse brings out all his sons, and Samuel's like looking at them, and he starts at the oldest son. Right. And he's like, God, is this the king? And every single time the answer is, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Like, neither has, so it's like, oh, okay. So then it's like the next son. And then it's like, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And then it's the next one. Neither has the Lord chosen this one. And as I'm like thinking about this story, I'm just like going through the people in my life, all of these amazing, you know, like Christian men that I had met. And every single time it was like, God would say like, hey, I haven't chosen this one. Hey, neither have I chosen this one for you. Like, hey, this is not him either. And those were like the church's ideas of like the perfect guy, you know? And then here's this new guy that I'm talking to. And honestly, he is not the church's, like what the church had told me was like the perfect guy for me. He's covered in tattoos. Some of them I don't even like, to be completely honest. And some of that's my own bias. Like that's not on him. That's my bias. You know, isn't a pastor of a mega church or even of a small church. He worked at Starbucks at that time and in insurance. There's just so many things, you know, and then it's like, and then also his story that he had shared, which had some very broken parts to it. And it's like, in my brain, it was like these guys that I had met throughout my life were lined up, you know, as like, and all the people in my life being like, oh, is this the guy for you? Is this the guy? And God being like, neither have I chosen this one. Neither have I chosen this one. So in the story with Samuel, he gets to the end of all these brothers and he looks at Jesse and he's like, none of these are the guy. Like, do you have any more sons? And Jesse's like, well, yeah, I have like the youngest son. He's a shepherd. He's like, surely he's not the guy, you know? And Samuel's like, well, you need to bring him here. And so they get David and they bring David, and it talks about how like David is ruddy. He's an outside guy, you know, like he's a shepherd, he's young. And when he brings him, it is really clear that this is the one. Like, and God is like, this is the one I have chosen, this one right here. And in that story, there's this really beautiful verse where it says, the Lord says to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because that's not how I choose. Like, I don't look on appearance. I don't look on stature. Like, the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And as I sat there and I was processing this guy that was interested in me, I heard that in my mind and in my heart of God saying like, hey, like I assess people differently than the world does, even the Christian world. Like I assess differently, and I'm looking at the heart of this man, and this man loves me. He has my heart. And in that moment, I suddenly realized that Matt had actually already been a picture of Christ to me in ways that none of those other guys had. He delighted in me as a woman in a really like just simple way. Like he's very unassuming. So the first time we even saw each other on the phone, it just burst out of him. He was like, oh my goodness, you're so cute. And like, no one had ever called me cute before. Like that's just not how I'm normally talked about. And then he just delighted in me. And I'm like sitting there and like coming face to face with the grossness of my own heart and like the grossness of my own perspective to like say, oh, but this guy's story is hard, or like, man, I don't like his tattoos or whatever it is. And then for God to be like, wait, Kesset, I want to show you my view of this man because he has my heart. And so I think like God was really kind to use like himself to become the lens by which I could assess that moment. And then to be able to get back on the phone with Matt and be like, hey, I want to meet you. Like,
yeah,
I want to meet you and I'm going to celebrate your story. And I'm not going to be worried about what other people think, to be honest, because at the end of the day, I think that's actually what I was worried about. Is what other people would think.
Yeah.
And for God to say, yeah, like, hey, Kesset, like, don't worry about the markings on his body or the markings on his story. Like, I'm worried about the markings on his heart. And the markings on his heart are Jesus. Like, those are the markings on his heart. And man, I'm really thankful that God gave me that perspective, because my story would be very different if he hadn't. And Matt is absolutely the right guy for me. And I would have missed it if I didn't see him in the way Jesus sees him.
Oh, yes. First of all, we all love a love story.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So on the surface, thank you for a tale of romance and genuine love. But the faith part of that story that, you know, we as Christians, we all say, oh, the Lord guides me, leads me. But to hear a story that is very honest and real and makes sense of how does God actually lead and guide, And I love that you said, I'm not going to say I had a vision. I'm not going to say, you know, God didn't say in a loud voice, chesed, match is for you, you know, but brought to mind his word, because isn't that really, you know, I don't know, but I would say the predominant way that God actually talks to his children today is through his word in some way, shape, or form, but then makes it resonate in our heart and, you know, line up with what we're talking to him about. So I just love that you affirmed in that story that God does care about his children and he does lead and guide them, and in ways that maybe wouldn't make sense to some people, but make perfect sense to his children, because he is the word. He is the word made flesh, and he loves us and cares about us and wants to lead and guide us. So I love that it just affirmed, this is my choice. This is the one. Don't look at the outward appearance, because I look at the heart. And, but I loved your honesty in that, hey, I do have a type, and I have to be bald with a beard, I'm, you know, but then of course, from your story, what you really wanted was that heart, and you got them both. God does love and beyond what we even ask or think, you know.
Yeah. Anyway. God is really kind. And I do want to make sure to say that, like, I specifically asked Matt if I could share this story today, because it is part of his story as well. And so I just want to say that to everyone, that like, I did ask him. And in fact, Matt's response was, oh yeah, you can tell them everything. Tell them every single thing I told you. And I was like, that's your story. I'm not going to do that. But again, it just like kind of talks about how unassuming he is. Like he really, he just like, he's happy to be used by the Lord, even the hard parts of his story. And so, but yeah, I did get his permission. I'm not just like, you know, nonchalantly like airing our laundry in front of everybody.
Beautiful. And like you said, so humble.
And yeah.
Isn't that what God calls all of us? Lay down your pride, be real. And you saw that in him. And that's why you're so happily married. I love that.
It's interesting when people ask the question, like, who said, I love you first? Matt's answer has actually started recently becoming like that. He said he loved me first, but actually I loved him first. And the first time he said it, I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, you fell in love with me way before I fell in love with you. And he's like, yeah, but Jesus showed you how much he loved me way earlier on. You loved me first. And I think he's actually right, because I think that moment is the moment that like God gave me his heart for Matt, and like showed me his heart for Matt, but I didn't fall in love with him for another probably 4 months. But I did love him because I saw God's heart for him.
Beautiful. Oh
my gosh. I love beautiful. That.
Julia, what were you going to say, honey?
No, I was going to say, I feel like we talk about affirmation stories and transformation stories. I feel like this almost could be in the category of transformation story too, if we like look at the top of it as God provides what we need, even though it may not look like what we're expecting or what we've been told to expect. Like you talked about his appearance and stuff like that. But like, I think that lesson can be applied, and that perspective of how we view things transforms. Okay, this is what I should be looking for, yada, yada, yada. But now you look at it, okay, no, God has shown me that the shepherd boy David is king.
Right.
Matt's heart is with Jesus. So it changes when instances, jobs, choices, life, all the other things that come into play, and you're like, God, what is the right choice? Where do you want me? It may not look like what you expect it to, or what the Christian world or what the world says. God fills that hole with what we need, what we don't even know that we need. Mm-hmm. And so I love that your story exemplifies that mm-hmm. his way is unique and specific, even when it's not what we're expecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it.
So good.
Yes, so good. You are a gem of a storyteller. And
yeah, when are you going to write your book?
I want to read it. You guys can pray about that. Like, I feel like the last like few weeks, God has really been bringing that up as a desire, and like I'm trying to figure out, okay, how do I make margin for that? Because I would love to do that. So yeah, everybody start praying. We'll see.
I will. But
on it, we're on it. I mean, I want to read it.
When I wanted to write one, Cass said first cancer, then COVID. So I had 2 years where there's a ton of time to write a book. I'm not saying
no. Don't go down that path.
I am not.
All right, I'll pray for a different
provision. Lord, I want to, but not like you did with Katie. No,
right.
Thankfully, everyone's unique. Anyway,
right.
We would love to have you back again, Cassidy. As you know, you are really our most repeated guest because you're a great storyteller. But more than your ability and skill to tell a story, it's your heart that loves Jesus so much, just like the man God showed you to Mary. You are a woman after God's own heart, and we love you. So thanks for sharing our story, and thank your husband.
I will. I'll tell him thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, darling. We love you, listeners.